I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. In this episode, we discuss an important new research center launched by Gallup aimed at making a lasting contribution to tracking racial disparities across key aspects of life in America. Camille Lloyd is executive director of the newly created Gallup Center on Black Voices. Camille, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Glad to be here.
So, Camille, why did Gallup want to tackle this work? Obviously, this is a really important topic for America in general and at large, but why Gallup? Why did we want to do this?
This is core to our mission. This is what we get paid to do, and this is what we do really well, which is taking an issue, studying it, and working with our clients to understand, and we wanted to take the same approach. It was important for us to also listen and to report out on Black lives in the very same way that we get paid to help our clients across the world.
And that's a really, I know, important part of your vision for the center. One of the conversations we've had is it's amazing how the United Nations gets funding from the United States to sort of track, you know, poverty reduction and improvement in developing parts of the world, sustainable development goals. But we don't have similar metrics for places like Compton, California or Danville, Virginia. Talk to us about that and why we need that in the research world in the U.S.
It is important that we have similar measures for especially the Black communities, because we do understand and we're still trying to understand the impact that disparities, the systemic oppression and exclusion has had on the Black population. But it's also important that we understand not just what the impact is, but how does that negatively impact Black Americans' lives towards progressing to equitable outcomes. It's astonishing for some to know that we have communities in America where 4 out of 10 individuals are struggling to find enough money for food. Those statistics are astonishing, but they're not kind of as salient. You know, a lot of people don't know that. But we have similar measures for other countries across the world, but we don't have that for communities within our own country. And so it's important that you're able to quantify that experience so you can better able to understand, you know, where solutions and progress is needed.
One of the huge challenges on the issue of just racial justice in America is who speaks for who, right? It's so easy to make generalizations or, frankly, to do a really good national poll and miss a lot of the nuance that's happening in the local realities that Americans of all racial groups and incomes are experiencing. Talk to us about the methodologies Gallup has relied on to tackle sort of the different pockets of Black communities across this country.
So that's what we're hoping to do differently, Mohammed, and that is amplifying our efforts as researchers here at Gallup to allow for a more nuanced understanding of what that Black experience is. What is that lived experience? We know that it's not monolithic. And so that's where our research is hoping to come and to add something a little bit different by amplifying those efforts to get at those nuances so we can unpack it.
I want to ask you on a personal note, Camille. You're somebody that's been at Gallup for quite a while. You've had a lot of huge successes here. You've committed your life really to doing solid research, working with clients to tackle really difficult problems, and understanding how data can be a part of solutions. Why did you want to take this on?
That's a very good question, Mo. When I look back and I think, especially for the current moment and just kind of listening to the life of John Lewis, he kind of categorized it in a way that made it really, really come to life for me as to when I reflect on why do I want to do this? Why do I want to make this switch? And it's really about, you know, what I can do as an individual researcher for setting up a society where my children will grow up in. I have children that I say are Y kids. They ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And I know that at some point, you know, as they get older, they would ask about this moment. They would ask about, you know, what happened? What did I do? And I feel like being able to answer that question as a parent was important for me because it's one of those situations where I felt helpless in terms of how do you protect your children from the world that's out there that you can't control how people perceive it and how they will experience it. So what can I do to help contribute? And I know that as researchers here at Gallup, I see the work that we do for our clients. When we put our research engine, our research machines, and our best and brightest thinkers on an issue, that we can truly, truly have impact. And when Gallup made this commitment, for me, it was a full circle moment, because as I think about not just my role as a researcher, but my role as a parent, and when you get asked, you know, what did you do? I would love to be able to say what the work that I did and the work that I was doing around that time contributed in some way. We all can't be on the front line, but we all can contribute in our own way. And I felt like this was important synergies for the work that I was doing to come full circle to something that I consider important for my role as a parent, but also as a Black woman in America.
And not only that, it's just so important to America. I mean, since the 1930s, our mission has been to report on the will of the people who live in this country and all the other countries that we poll in. And, you know, this racial justice and race is not new, of course, for America. It actually is. It was here before America existed, on this land. So that's one aspect of it. We've asked about race. I mean, the first time we asked about race relations or racism, I think, was in the 1930s. So there's been a lot of public opinion research on race relations. Are things getting better? Are things getting worse? Would you vote for a Black president? A lot of those data are fascinating. We've studied them for years now. But we know, Camille, that so much of the reality, like we were saying earlier, is really happening for American citizens at the city level, for legal reasons, for economic reasons, just for the way the country is really organized. How do you see cities playing a role in your new effort here to try to understand realities on a more granular level? How can city leaders step up and be part of the solution here?
I mentioned earlier that what's kind of different about this approach, rather than just solely a national approach to highlight what those experiences are nationally, we know that those nuances vary tremendously at the city level. When you think about, you know, where your life is being impacted the most, it's not that national policy doesn't, but when you think about how you go about living your daily life within the geographic area where you live and how that impacts you, I think that's where change, when you think about applicable change that will impact you directly, most of that will happen at that city level. So I think being able to understand where cities are on the measures that we're hoping to come up with at the center is important to that conversation and that dialogue of let's listen and understand what the experience is like in Dallas versus what the experience is like in West Palm Beach, Florida, where I grew up. I think that understanding what those experiences are on that city level is just as important as unpacking the nuances across the different subgroups within Black America.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about what we found so far with the work of the center. We're really going on two tracks. I know that you and the team have already tackled a huge survey that's really focused on the current moment in America, the protests, attitudes about police reform, police activity. But you're also going to create these longer term metrics where you are essentially creating a research framework to start measuring these sustainable development goals. Let's put that aside. Tell us what you've learned on what's happening in America right now in this moment from the research we've done already. How do people feel about the protests, police reform, et cetera?
So there are two things that I think have come out of the inaugural research that we've done so far with the center. One of that is magnitude to which Black Americans experience microaggressions in their daily lives. I feel the salient issues tend to be those issues of police mistreatment, and that's what kind of gets publicized and talked about a lot. But what we found in our data so far related to your everyday lives, whether it's going to a restaurant, going to a store, or just walking on the street, the amount of mistreatment that Black Americans are experiencing there. So that for me was one of the things that was enlightening so far. The other thing related to what we're hearing in terms of support, we are seeing that this moment is different. When we ask Americans if they're in support of the protests or support the cause of the protests, overwhelming majority says yes, they support the protests and the cause of the protests. What I also find that was interesting so far is the percent of Americans who are saying that this protest has changed their views towards racial equity.
One of the things that fascinated me about the findings was that the overwhelming support for just the notion that police policing in America really needs to be reformed and looked at once again. Talk to us about that. I know that, you know, the data show that most people don't want to defund the police. We asked about that too, but talk to us about the topic of reforming the police. Where is the American public on that?
So majority of Americans feel that either major reforms or some minor changes are needed when it comes to police. But I still think that there is need for understanding what types of reforms people are looking for. I think that there the research that's so necessary and needed there is to understand where are people looking for solutions related to that. Because the ideas that have been put forth, we did do some studies. The studies also ask about specific reform solutions that have been put out. We don't see as overwhelming majorities for some of the more extreme ones. But what we do know is that people generally agree that we need to have some form of change. What that change looks like, I think, is yet to be determined. And I think that that's part of what we want to look at and study, is to understand where are people looking for solutions as it relates to how we police society.
That dichotomy really gets to the frustration. It's very similar to healthcare, in that most Americans think it's broken, but when you ask what do we do to solve it, the splintering happens very quickly. Mm-hmm. One of the other fascinating topics that we've pulled on in the past, and I know you're going to dig into too in the future, is reparations. It's another topic that really divides people, even among similarly positioned ideological respondents. So like even among Democrats, Black respondents have a very different perception on the importance or the need for reparations than others. So one of the fascinating things for me will be, as the country continues to attempt to form a more perfect union, as so many of our leaders have said in referencing John Lewis's life, these issues are going to be with us, and the solutions are not easy. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, as you know, Camille, you've been at Gallup long enough to know, it's really hard to get Americans to overwhelmingly agree on almost anything, but especially on these issues. There's a lot of debate and toxicity around some of these topics. Where do you see our role as Gallup being in this conversation as these years unfold and the center really gets to work here?
I think that there are lots of voices in this space, Mo, but I feel where our role plays is going out and asking the people what their expectations are. It's going out and listening to get an understanding of where people are looking for these solutions and changes in their lives, because I think that that's a big component that's missing. A lot of people are saying a lot of things, but I don't know that we truly know. And so that's why our mission is to go out and to listen and to understand and report out on what we find.
Camille, that is such an awesome way to really bring this conversation to a close. I want to ask you, as we go into the ether here on our virtual world, how can folks listening follow the work of the center and get involved if they want to?
Certainly. So we have a center page, so folks can go on gallup.com and sign up to receive results and insights as those are released. We will have reports. We will have webinars. We will have virtual meetings that we are hoping to discuss this data to elevate the findings and the voices of the people who we're going to be studying.
That's Camille Lloyd. She is Executive Director of the new Gallup Center on Black Voices. For more of the center's work, go to news.gallup.com or go to gallup.com to sign up for alerts on everything the center is doing. Camille, thank you for your time, and thank you for you and the team's hard work on this really important mission that we have here at Gallup.
Thank you for having me, Mo.
That's our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe to the podcast from any podcast app, just search the Gallup Podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us at Gallup News. If you have questions, feedback, or suggestions on topics for future episodes, we want to hear from you. Write to us directly by emailing podcast@gallup.com. This Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.